You are listening to Engaging and Exciting Conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready.
Now. What's up, everybody? This is the Radiant Culture Podcast, and this is your host, Kodam Zembe. Cookie Monster is a name that is making its way out, and I'm going to be affectionately known by my real name, which is Kodam Zembe. And today I'm hosted by none other than
Mr. Kent. I'm not changing my name.
It's okay. But I'll tell you what. So part of the reason why I personally decided to... So you can call me Kuda. Kuda is good enough. Part of the reason why I have decided to switch from Cookie Monster. I think Cookie Monster's run its course.
Okay.
And, you know, this is our 10th year doing the podcast.
Yes, actually.
10 years, 10th year, new things.
Yeah.
And also I turned a big age this year that I shall not name, but and you don't need to name it either, but I turned a big age. So, you know, and I just thought, you know, it's time to be known by my real name, to mature. And it's a beautiful name. My full name is Kudakwashe, which actually means the will of God.
Really nice name. I love your name. I wish I had that name.
It's okay. Yeah. You can change your name. Yeah, and the Lord can change your name to a better name.
Let's not get into the name change conversation.
But you know what, guys? We're thrilled because today we're going to be talking about a subject that I think is really important.
Yeah.
We're talking about gratitude.
Yep.
Gratitude is simply one of those things that you've heard many times in both the church world and in the secular world that gratitude is one of the most beautiful things, right?
Yes. It's
something, if somebody does something for you, you just feel compelled to thank them in some way.
Yeah.
If you do something for somebody and they don't show you any gratitude, they don't say thank you. If, you know, even with your kids, if you go and you maybe you've traveled and you bring something back for your son and your daughter, and they just take it and be like, dad, whatever. And then there's no thank you. Something you just like, hey, how's about a thank you?
Yeah.
You know, and it's something that as a society we value. But I think beyond that, the Bible has a lot to say about gratitude.
Yeah.
And I even think of the story, I've forgotten where it is in the Bible. I need to read my Bible. Where Jesus...
You haven't been reading your Bible.
I need to memorize my Bible. No, but this particular story is Jesus has this encounter with the lepers and with the 10 lepers.
Yeah.
And he heals them. And then only one of them comes back and actually says, thank you. And he says to them, were there not 10 who were here that I healed, but only one came back, you know? And that guy then actually goes on to get restored fully, because, you know, with leprosy, your flesh basically gets, but Jesus then fully restores this guy. And there's a lesson that's there, that lesson is that gratitude is something that is valued even by God, you know? And so we want to talk about that today to say, what exactly is gratitude?
Yeah.
Why is it important?
Yeah.
What does it do for us as people and as believers especially? And why does the Bible make such a big fuss about gratitude? What's the big deal with gratitude?
No, it's a really exciting topic. And I guess it's fitting because we start the year.
Yeah.
And just on that sort of tone, you know.
Yeah.
Usually it's the year starts off stressful. January disease, or sometimes for other people it's on a high, you know, you've got goals, you've set goals and you're excited and you start off, you hit the ground running, and then we know February comes.
Oh yeah.
But I guess I guess gratitude
until
is one of those
until
things.
Valentine's comes, huh?
You see, there you go. But gratitude is one of those things that, you know, I never really mentioned at the beginning of the year. Usually it's at the end of the year where I'm thankful for this, you know, we've made it through the year,
right?
You know, it's Christmas time, it's cheerful. But then at the beginning, it's all about, you know, me, my goals, what I want to achieve, and your prayers, your 10-day, 21-day, 40-day fast,
my 10 days
exactly, that sort of thing. But you know, the Bible has so many, you know, passages on thanksgiving and just giving thanks and just being grateful. For example, like Thessalonians 5:16-8 says, rejoice always.
Okay.
And in all circumstances, give thanks. Like all circumstances, give thanks.
Mm.
And it's so important. You know, there are many Psalms where it's talking about enter his gates with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know. So I think it's befitting to enter the year with thanksgiving as well.
Yeah.
You
know? That's Psalm 100, right?
Yes.
Psalm 100,
yes,
I think it's verse 4.
Yeah.
In fact,
Janet has that Anna tonight of thanksgiving, which is very fitting because it's on the first of the year. And I think she's done a great, great job with that. So, yeah, it's just one of those things that, and we never really take time to understand its importance, not just for God, who we are being grateful for and what he's done and giving thanks, but also what it does to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good. That's so good. Yeah. And I think the thing with gratitude, I love that scripture that you quoted. That's Psalm 100.
Yeah.
Verse 4 and 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. We says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And when you think about just the whole idea of, you know, somebody who's involved in praise and worship myself, there's something amazing about scripture emphasizing that when we come into the house of God, enter his gates. And of course, you know, it's a depiction of the temple, that the temple had many different sections in it, but his gates with thanksgiving. So that's the first thing you're doing. You're thanking God. You're saying, Lord, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think an attitude of gratitude is something that we have to think about more. How can I put it? We have to have, if you think about, okay, here's a thought that I've often battled with.
Yeah.
When I was a younger Christian, especially, I would often think, what's the point of thanking God? And I'll tell you.
No, it's, I feel where you're coming from.
What's the point of thanking God?
Yeah.
He already knows everything.
Exactly.
He already has everything.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, why does God need us to thank him?
Uh-huh. He's sufficient.
He's sufficient by himself. So what does us giving him thanks do to him or do for him? I don't think it does. And that's why I used to have all these thoughts. But the more I thought about it, and of course, the more that I've grown.
Yeah.
Just as an individual and as a Christian, the more I realize that thanksgiving really doesn't do anything to God, but it does something to us.
Us, yeah.
You know, and it shows something about our understanding of who God is in relation to us, or who we are in relation to who God is.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something interesting, that if you think of the whole idea of intellectual property and plagiarism.
Yeah.
Right. I had this thought that if you enter production and you do all of this stuff, if you produce a track
like,
or a film or whatever, right? You, again, you know, you're into production, you know, all of this stuff. You, let's say you create this amazing track and you put in the work and you do all of this. Then somebody takes, then maybe a couple of days later, your track gets released. Then you hear some Zim Danso on using the exact same beat or something that sounds sonically similar, to what you've created.
Yeah.
Of course, you're going to be like, hey, hold up. That's my track, right? I made that. And of course, you know, maybe you take legal action. But the reason why you do that is because that person has taken what belongs to you and made it their own.
Right.
Without thanking you or acknowledging.
Acknowledging,
you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so when you think about the whole idea of gratitude, where it pertains to God, when we take what belongs to God and do not acknowledge him as the creator, as the maker, as the one who initiated everything in the first place, then we're, in a sense, committing the crime of plagiarism.
Yeah.
Because we're taking what doesn't belong to us and making it our own. And I think this is the thing, that when you think about it on a grand scale, that everything that we get to have and get to enjoy is because God has given us and God has enabled us to have it.
Yeah.
And so if he's the author of life, then we owe it to him to say, Lord, without you, I would not have the good looks that I do. Or without you, I would not have the sporting ability that I do.
Yeah.
Or without you, I would not have this artistic gifting. Or maybe you're gifted in some way. Or maybe you don't think you're gifted, but you are compassionate and yes. you're kind, or maybe you're a good parent, or whatever it could be. The reason why we have to thank God and have an attitude of gratitude is more than us just going to say, Lord, thank you. But it's really a posture.
It is.
Of life that says, Lord, I acknowledge the fact that everything comes from you.
From you. Yeah.
And so I'm not going to plagiarize. So I think that's just an interesting way to put it. You know, and I'm not going to take credit for that because I actually read that somewhere.
Okay.
And then, of course, I added my own little twist to it. But I just thought it was a very interesting thought where this is concerned. Anyway, yeah.
No, that's brilliant. I'd actually never thought of it that way. And I guess it definitely answers the why should we be thankful? Why should we be? And I think we're not often thankful enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's usually like when something big has really happened, then someone will give a testimony and, you know, they'll sing songs and they'll just really have that. But even in the small things, you know, one of the examples you gave was, you know, if you're a father and you come home to your kids and you've got a present or something, you know, whether it's big or small, if they don't thank you, it's an issue. And it's one of the things that we always deal with my kids, where we've taught them that no matter how small a thing anyone gives you, you should always say thank you, because it's acknowledging what that person has done. You know, that person took time and thought about you and say, hey, I'm going to buy this, or I'm going to bring this for these people. They could have just, you know, literally just not done it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's taking the time to acknowledge the effort, like you say, the acknowledgement, the thank you of what that person has done. And I think sometimes we don't do it enough. It's only in the big occasions or in the nights of Thanksgiving. Not that we shouldn't have those. They're great. But it should be a habit, something that we do consistently, which is why I guess, you know, Paul talks about that in Thessalonians, you know, where he's talking about give thanks in all circumstances.
And it goes on to say, for this is the will of God for you.
Exactly.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So it's not always, even in the bad times, and I know that can be very difficult for a lot of people, even in the difficult times, in the bad times, you still need to give thanks. Why? Because I actually think it changes your perspective and your attitude towards a given situation and actually helps you endure and overcome that situation.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're concentrating on, I'm in a tight spot, I don't have money, can't pay the bills, I'm caving in, and that's all you're meditating on, how are you going to get out of that situation? Or how is that going to help you cope with that situation? But imagine if you were like, you know what? Things are really tight. But I'm thankful to God that I have life. I'm thankful that God is with me and he'll see me through this situation. Your mindset starts to shift. Hope starts to set in. You know, the easy example is Paul and Silas in prison, bound.
Yeah.
But they're giving thanks, singing hymns of praises. You know, the attitude totally changed and the atmosphere in that whole prison cell changed. So I think sometimes we undervalue the power of gratitude.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Psalm 107, I think it's in verse 1, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Yeah.
And his mercy endures forever.
Yeah.
And we've got a song that we sing at church that we wrote at church, which is called Give Thanks. And it actually talks about all the things that God has done, that he smote mighty kings and the enemies. Of course, this is a song that was written for the children of Israel, just retelling of the wonderful works that God did, all the things that he did. And it says, give thanks to him, for his mercy endures forever.
Yeah.
And there's something about what you said that I love, that we don't, it says give thanks. We give thanks in all circumstances, but not for all circumstances. You got what I'm trying to say?
That's a nice way of putting it.
It's something that my pastor often used to say, right? That
we don't give
thanks to God for everything, but we give thanks to God in everything. Meaning that the things that are going to happen in life that are going to unsettle us, that are going to undo us, the things that are going to happen that are going to unravel us.
Yeah.
Because by virtue of the fact that we live in a fallen world, we're going to go through stuff.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're going to lose a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as you know, just over the last few months, there have been so many deaths of,
yeah,
you know, close people. And so things like that are heart-wrenching and they are difficult. And God is not saying we thank him for the person dying or for the person falling sick, because that would be weird, right? But he's saying even in those circumstances, we say, Lord, we thank you that you are still God.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you that you are sovereign over everything. We thank you that you are with us as we go through this. And I think there's something there about that posture that then, like you were saying, that when you have a posture that acknowledges that, Lord, my life is in your hands.
Mm.
And whether the good things happen or the bad things happen, you're with me. I'm reminded of the book of Habakkuk,
where
I think it's the last chapter of Habakkuk, should be Habakkuk chapter 4. And Habakkuk is talking about, you know, if you understand the backstory, that he's complaining about violence and how they've been invaded and how they're all these terrible things that are happening in the land.
But by wicked people.
Wicked people, basically, you know. And I think we know some wicked people, right? And there's all these things that are happening. But at the end of it all, Habakkuk sings a song. It's a poem that he... I think it's a poem or a hymn of praise where it says, though there are no cattle in the pens, though there are no sheep in the whatevers, right? Though there are no olives on the figs, but it says, and yet will I rejoice in God my Savior.
Yeah.
Right? I will give him thanks. And he starts to... So he's saying that even though there are all these things that are happening, the one thing that I will rejoice in God my Savior.
Yeah.
I promise I'll do better with the reciting of scripture, but it's just amazing to me that, again, in this tight spot, in this tight situation, in these adverse circumstances, his ultimate response is, I thank God. I rejoice in who God is.
Yeah.
And if I connect that within the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, chapter 6, chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And so there's something there about, again, I used to wonder, I was like, but Paul, as a younger Christian, I used to be like, but what's the big deal with the Thanksgiving,
yeah,
right? Why is it always snuck in there? But because it's not snuck in there. It's actually a central part of the posture that we ought to have, and maybe the reason why a lot of us are feeling anxious and feeling depressed or feeling just some type of way could be that we've lost that sense of gratitude to God. Yeah. You know, and we've forgotten, or we need to be reminded again that, hey, God is in control.
Yeah.
And that God has my life in the palm of his hands.
Yeah.
And so when I go to him, I'm going to stop being anxious and I'm going to pray and I'm going to thank him. So the question is then, okay, maybe you can, I'm pretty sure, you know, you can relate to this. Have you had any situations where you've had to thank God, but... yeah, things are burning.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and how have you managed that?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. Like, especially when... I guess you can't say you don't deserve it, because we do a lot of things. But, you know, where you can't directly link it to something you've done wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? And things happen. You know what I mean? For example, you know... you just all of a sudden fall sick, or someone all of a sudden falls sick and you lose someone. You know, a very good example is like when Blah left, you know. Blah is a good friend of ours who passed away about a year and a half ago. And that was hard to take, because a few weeks before, you're on the phone with this guy and he's saying, I'm coming to see you. You know, this is someone who's living outside the country, and they're saying, they're coming to see you, they're coming... actually, he didn't. He actually called when he arrived.
Yep.
Say, hey, I'm around.
Yep.
Let's link up. You know what I mean? So you're coming from that high of, my boy is around, let's make a plan, to a few days later hearing that person is no more.
Yep.
So in that situation, you're finding it hard. You can't thank God for that. You know what I mean? You can't, you can't. But at the same time, you start looking at it and you're like, we thank God that we had the time that we had with him. You know what I mean? We thank God that he's still God. We don't know the end. We don't know how things will pan out. We don't know what the next hour is anyway, but God knows.
Yep.
And he's got a plan. It's like one of those, you know, I just feel like God is like the master at this. You know, when you're watching a movie and something happens and you're like, no. But then there's a little plot twist, like a little bit later. And I sometimes feel like God is playing a director. You know what I mean? It's like you're watching the movie with the director and he knows what's going to happen. And he's looking at your faces and you guys are so devastated. But he knows the plot twist. He knows what's coming. And God does that. We don't have the full picture. So sometimes it's hard, you know, to be thankful, to have that attitude. But then if we remember that, look, there's someone who knows the next play, not just knows it, but shapes it, you know, can control it, can change it. So that's how it's helped me. It's difficult. Sometimes you're just like, but God, no, you're a wacko. Sometimes you have to have
I've had a lot of those. Ooh,
what the hell? Man. Why?
I've had a lot of those moments where I've just been like, ish, Lord, no, but no, but this is not cool.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, this is whack.
Yeah.
I think that the example that you cited there, the blah example, I remember that was devastating. Completely devastating. Because, you know, for me, I had seen blah several days before he passed away, you know, and we're having a completely different conversation about life, about where things are going, you know, and it just, I think it jolts you. It makes you stop and think, life is fragile, right? Yeah. But I think it also, things like these challenge or they put your theology into perspective.
Into perspective, yeah.
Yeah, they shine a spotlight on your theology. Because a lot of us have this, we tend to have this belief that if something is from God, then it's going to be good. Because God is good.
God is good, yeah.
So everything that comes from God, if something is bad or uncomfortable or, if it just doesn't make me feel a certain way, it can't be from God.
Yeah.
And yet, that is not consistent with Scripture. So I also think that the whole issue of gratitude actually brings your theology into question or into perspective to say, what do you really believe about God? I'll share an example. I was in Joburg just a couple of days back. I met up with a friend of mine there in Sandton. And I remember it's a friend who recently lost his mom. And so he's been struggling, you know, just with because he's all alone because his family is here and he works out in Joburg. So he's been spending a lot of time alone and he's like the grief then really started hitting me now because I'm on my own. But we had a really deep conversation in that it turned into almost a conversation about theology and God.
God, yeah.
And God's sovereignty. Because he says the only thing that's sustained me is my theology and my understanding about the sovereignty of God. And he said he said to me that he reached a point when, you know, his mom was unwell. And I guess in her final moments where he was like, you know what, Lord, if it's your will for her to go, then I'm cool with that. Like, you're in control. And I think that says a lot about the faith, our walk with God.
Yeah.
That we are going to have moments in life where things don't go the way that we want. Yeah. Now, we could, you know, they were praying and believing for healing. But there could be times where, and I've asked this question before, are there times where God will not heal? Are there times where God won't answer, or maybe he won't answer the healing prayer in the way that we wanted?
We wanted,
you know? And I think we have to come to a point where we are okay and trust God enough that there's some things that he's going to do that may not be what we expected. That we'll do everything we wanted to do. We'll do everything. We'll pray. Mm. We'll stand in prayer. We'll stand in faith. You know, we'll get people together. But sometimes the answer is no.
No.
Or
yeah,
not now, or not this way.
Yeah.
And I think where and how this ties in with gratitude is that it was such an uplifting conversation for me, because he then said to me, that's what brought me peace. Yes, I'm still struggling with the grief, but the peace that I have, that God is in control, and that ultimately God did what he wanted.
What he wanted to do.
So there's something about that where we need to also get to a place in life where we have to be okay with God doing what God wants. And sometimes you have to ask yourself this, that with everything that's going on in my life right now, could it be that that's exactly what God wants? Right? It's not what I want. I don't like what's happening. But if God were to say to me, hey, this is where I want you right now, or if the answer is there's a lesson that I'm teaching you through this. I'm building your character through this. I am preparing you for the next season of your life. And so this thing that you're going through, instead of you constantly praying it away and binding the devils and whatever, what if God is saying, hey, be at peace, because that's where I want you at. And I think, but why I'm bringing this up is that I think it speaks to a posture of the heart that says God is ultimately in control. That I trust the fact that God is in control. And I trust the fact that God has his best plan for me. And I can rest in the fact that God loves me. God is with me. Right? I think that takes a certain level of maturity. And it takes a certain level of... Okay, I mean, I'll use the example, Keith, that you went through something recently.
Yeah.
Where you lost your father-in-law. Yeah. I hope you don't mind me bringing this up. And your father-in-law was a lovely man.
Yeah.
You know, one of the most amazing gentlemen that I've ever met.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember seeing him in those final moments before he passed away. It's such just this brilliance that he had.
Yes.
And such a shining example of somebody who had walked with God his whole life.
Yeah.
But yet that moment had to come, you know. But when I think about how you were there, you and Kudzi, how you guys were there for him, you went the distance.
Yeah.
But there came that moment where you had to be like, we've done what we all prayed, we all believed.
Yeah.
But there came a point where it's like, hey, we have to thank God for his life.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
maybe this is God's time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe you can speak a bit about that and maybe what that did for you, and even how that then connects into this gratitude conversation.
Yeah. It's funny you use that example, because I remember the day he passed on, because I was there in the room. He was in a lot of pain, so he had a long-term illness.
Yeah.
And he was in a lot of pain, and the prayer that time was, Lord, you know, take away the pain, you know. We didn't know what we were praying. It was just, Lord, take away the pain. And I remember when he breathed his last, a few minutes later, when I was trying to, you know, now, you know, you're trying to figure out, okay, what do we do? You know, you have to call the cops and funeral policy and blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to do that. And I remember distinctively hearing a voice say to me, your prayer has been answered. And it just sank. And I was like, wow. Because the pain had been taken away, but so was his life taken away.
Yeah,
you know. So, but it was in that moment where, like, I was like, you know what? If that's God's way of doing it, I have to come to peace with that decision, because God knows best. And I like that, because I look at it from a father's perspective. You know, and sometimes we take it for granted, you know. We call God, God. I love, like, my kids. They usually like to correct you when, you know. So when you're praying, they don't want you to say God. Because they'll say, he's our Father. Mm. We were taught our Father. So they emphasize that. So I've been making it intentional
to say Father
instead of God, you know, because sometimes you just say, God, please do this. But when you address him as Father, it's the Father characteristics. And then when you step into that, in the shoes of a father, like I'm a father, you get to understand, okay, how would a father react? I don't always give my kids what they want. They don't always get what they're hoping for, but they always get the best. Trust me.
Oof.
They always get the best.
So good.
And that best may not be what they want now, but it's what is best for them at that time. And it's only later on they'll look back and you're like, you know what? Dad was right.
Yeah.
Dad got us the best thing.
That was
the best decision.
That's so good.
It's because I have a bigger perspective. I know more. I'm wiser than them. I have a greater perspective. So they might throw a tantrum. Why didn't we go there? Why didn't we go to this school? Why didn't we do this? But I have the bigger picture and I know what's best for them.
I love that.
Yeah. So sometimes it's having that perspective that God is our Father, which is why Jesus taught us to pray our Father.
Father. Oof.
You know what I mean?
Yo, so good. And I think it's a lesson. It's a lesson that we all have to learn, right? Which is that when we talk about God, we tend to think about God as this massive, ginormous being out there somewhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't make him as relatable.
Exactly.
And yet, Jesus comes on the scene when the disciples ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. Yeah. And he says, this is how you should pray.
Yeah.
Say, our Father.
Exactly.
Who art in heaven.
Yeah.
Hallowed be your name.
Yeah.
Your kingdom come on earth
as
it is in heaven, right?
Yeah.
And, excuse me, and you start to see this thing where Jesus didn't say my Father.
No.
He says our Father.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lifelong journey, right? As a believer, we actually learn, and this is a journey that I'm on as well, where you learn to see God as a Father.
Yeah. And he says it several times, right? And he addresses and says, your Father in heaven.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he says, now I'm going to my Father, who's
your Father. Yes.
So it's like he's wanting his disciples and us by extension to know that we have more than just a God.
Yes.
A deity out there.
Yeah.
We have somebody who's relatable.
Yeah.
Somebody who's personal.
Mm.
Right? And the moment you bring the term Father into the mix, then you have to start thinking about the things you're talking about. That a father has compassion.
He has compassion.
A father has love.
Yes.
A father has concern.
Yes.
A father has all the characteristics that we think about that come with being a father. But a father also has justice.
Exactly.
And wants things done right. And a father has discipline.
Yeah.
Right? And a father wants us to be straight, to be walking on the straight and narrow. And so there's all these things that we often don't want to attribute to God because we don't look at him as a father.
Mm.
We'd rather have God as a genie. We'd rather have God
most of us
as Father Christmas.
Exactly.
Father Christmas ain't your real father. You know? That fat old. So
I skinny these days.
These days there's some skinny. Right? Owns will look like me. But anyways, no offense if you're a father, acted as Father Christmas.
My father used to call a skinny Father Christmas is Baba Christmas.
Yes, Baba Christmas.
Like, he has a Father Christmas. Baba Christmas.
So I think there's a lot of that kind of thing, right? Where we don't relate to God as a father.
Yeah.
And so I think what's powerful about this, again, where gratitude is concerned, is that I think when we start to see God as our Father, something changes in our hearts.
Shifts, yeah.
Why? Because you then start to understand that my Father wants the best for me.
Yeah.
My Father wants things to work out for me.
Yeah.
But my Father also wants me to walk a certain path.
Exactly.
And wants me to have to be a certain way.
He's going to spank you.
He's going to spank you.
Yeah.
You know? And the Bible even says a father disciplines in Hebrews those that he loves.
Yeah.
And so if God does not discipline you, then you are bastard.
You're a bastard.
Yeah, bastard. And so,
hey, the Bible says that.
The Bible, guys. It's the Bible. So, You know, it's amazing how all these threads are there in the word. But I think what's amazing for me is that the more we learn the Father heart of God, the more we can't help but be grateful.
Yeah.
To say, Lord, thank you. Mm. Yes, I may not be where I want to be. Yes, I may not have what I want to have. Mm. But for where I am, thank you for the life you've given me, for the fact that you've preserved me.
Yeah.
Which is why I also think that suffering is an important part of our walk with God. There are certain things that only pain can teach you. If somebody today were to talk to you, Keith, Mr. Kent, about just the experience you had taking care of your father-in-law. And because I saw that. And I'll be honest, it blew me away that you were there. He was living in your house. You know, he's got a terminal illness and you're taking care of him. But I think that watching that does something in your heart, that going on the best holiday and having all the money could never do. Right? There's something that forms in you. And I believe that part of the things that God allows us to go through is that there's a tenderness. There's I think there's certain aspects of the character of God that we can only experience when we've gone through some painful things. And it produces something in us. And I think when you look at people like the Apostle Paul, there's a reason why he had the amount of depth that he had because of the things that he went through.
That's really good. I like the whole father thing also because it makes you know what's available to you. You know what I mean? Think about this. If your father was the president, you have access to the president.
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the president's son.
My Ford Raptor.
Yeah, well. That and more. But if your father was the president, you won't be scared going down, you know, that street.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can actually go there and just walk in and drive in after six and tell them, hey, remove those spikes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're the son. You have access. There's no way the father is going to be like, why are you, you know, coming at this time or whatever? No, I'm coming to see you because you're my father. I don't care that you're the president. The fact that you're my father, I have access, you know?
Yeah.
So many of us see God, the president. So you automatically remove certain privileges and the access that you have.
That's good.
You start saying, after six, I can't go on that road. I can't do this, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then if you have, if you know that, no, this is my father, I have access. And if you're in trouble, or if you just need to go and see him, you have access. There's an example I saw in one of the books I was reading where they were saying, I think it was a parable, I don't think it was a true story, where there was a guy who had, you know, a problem, a soldier who had a problem, and he tried to see the president. And he had a really, really pressing problem. But this is a guy who had fought in the war and whatever. And he, the guys just wouldn't let him in.
Right.
So he was like, how do I get through to the president? Because I need the president to help me. And then he sat down on one of the benches in the outside the White House or something. And then the president's son came out and saw him, sat next to him. He was like, hey, you're a soldier. He was just intrigued. Just finding out what he is, where he served, that sort of thing. And then he then told him the problem. He says, my father has to know about this. Come. Went right by the gate where those same guards were. And they just opened the gate. They saluted. And they just went into the Oval Office and said, Dad, this guy really needs your help. Hear him out. And the guy got, you know, got his problem solved because of the son.
Ooh.
Who gave him access.
Access. The son gives us access.
Exactly.
The son gives us access. I love that. That's such a beautiful story.
Yeah.
And
so I wanted to ask, there's something that you mentioned earlier. So do you think our level of gratitude is linked to our level of theology?
Deep question.
Yeah.
Very good question. Very, very good question.
Yeah.
And my answer to that is a straight yes.
Yeah. How so?
If you have rubbish theology, sorry to put it so bluntly, if your theology is, and by theology here, I just mean that your concept of God,
that's what I mean,
and his truth,
yeah,
if it's incomplete or if it's somewhat misaligned with what biblical truth says, you're going to have a hard time with having the right perspective. And let me explain this. I think your level of gratitude is directly linked to your theology, because your theology speaks directly to how you view God.
Yeah.
And how who you see God as.
Yeah.
So, excuse me. And so if God is just some guy who's out there, or some force who's out there, mm-hmm. or maybe God is not personal to you,
yeah.
or your understanding of, oof, this one is a good one. My friend Daniel Duchal preached a message just this last Sunday, and his whole message was from the book of Colossians. In fact, his whole message was him reading. He was reading the book of Colossians. Yeah. That was literally the whole message.
Wow.
It was one of the most sobering messages for me and for our congregation. And I'll tell you why. Because not that I'm saying there's anything wrong with, you know, putting together a message and having different points and whatever. But there's just something amazing about letting scripture speak for itself.
Yeah.
And then people actually realizing that, wow, the Bible is so rich.
Yeah.
But one of his main points was, in fact, his main point was actually that Christ is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul is talking about the supremacy of Christ and how Christ is the ultimate thing, right? And so why this is important where theology is concerned is that your view of who the Son is and what the Son came to do and the price that he paid, if your view is warped, then it's going to be very difficult for you to thank God when certain expectations, quote unquote, are not met, right? Because you start to think that God let me down.
Mm.
You start to think that God is not answering my prayer. Maybe he's not answering my prayer because I've not behaved well,
mm-hmm.
or because I've not declared enough,
mm-hmm.
or maybe because, or whatever. Or then you start to think, ish, I cut that guy off in traffic and I used a cuss word that day. Maybe God is punishing me for that. Oh, I didn't pay my tithe.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things that we start to come up with in our minds.
Yeah.
And I think that's what messes us up, you know, theologically.
Mm-hmm.
And so you begin to struggle to thank God or to have a posture that says, Lord, thank you, because already you're thinking there's something wrong in our relationship.
Yeah.
Whereas the right theology understands, Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, says, how will he not also together with him not grant us all things? Meaning, there Paul is saying, the lesser is contained in the greater.
In the greater.
And the greater is that God has given us the most important thing, right?
Yeah.
And so why I'm connecting this and maybe making the response a little lengthy is I'm simply wanting to say that how this connects to your gratitude is that every single moment, every single thing that we go through is an opportunity for us to thank God.
God, yeah.
To be grateful to him. The fact that you are saved. The fact that it's you who's sitting here today, saved, doesn't mean that your life is perfect.
Yeah.
But you could have been a pimp, right? You could have been you could have been the guy on the street.
Yeah.
You could have been a guy who's trafficking children.
Yeah.
You could have been some drug dealer. I'm just trying to think of the worst possible things. You could have been a corrupt government official.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm saying all government officials are corrupt, but a lot of them are. So I'm saying you could have been anything, but you're... Yeah. But God saved you.
Yeah.
That in and of itself is enough for you to say, Lord, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Right? And so gratitude is directly connected to our view of God. And our view of God is really our theology. So I think it's important for us to understand what Christ has done for us. And I think this is part of the reason why the Apostle Paul the whole Bible continues to make such a big fuss of Christ and what he has done in the cross. Mm. Because therein, God shows his love and he's given us the very best, right? And so there's nothing that you go through in life that is able to eclipse what Christ went through on the cross. And so in any and every circumstance, we can say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for life.
Absolutely.
Thank you that I'm here. Thank you just for being saved, for being washed by his blood.
Exactly.
It's enough for you to just say, Lord, if that's all you ever did, thank you. And so that's so I think that I think those two are connected in that way directly. There's a direct link.
I absolutely agree. And I think, you know, which is why I'm always pressing to people, read your Bible. Because the greater your understanding of who God is, the greater your faith walk is, the better your faith walk is. Because now you're walking with an awareness, you're walking with a better context of who God is. So you're able to deal with situations in a much better way. And you're able to have that gratitude. You know, sometimes we struggle with a lot of things. I love the example that you gave where sometimes you're beating yourself for certain things. But if you just understood scripture and the concept of grace, you know, that how God is not looking at you and counting every sin and saying, okay, for that, I'm going to do that for that. If he was doing that, he wouldn't have sent
Jesus. Would be gone, bro.
I would be gone.
I know it would be late for me.
You know, but if you understand the concept of grace, then you understand how God sees the situation that you're in. And you actually know that, no, this is a God who actually hears. And he hears my prayer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, yeah.
I love it. So as we come to a close, what are some practical things that people can do, that we can do to become more grateful?
Yeah. Well, the first one I've already said, read more of your Bible, you know, understand who God is. But I think it's also like being intentional about it. You know, my son came up with this thing where I think we need to do it regularly, but every week there's a day where we have to say what we're thankful for. It becomes a habit where you start realizing like, wow. You know, in the first few days, it's amazing how you start thinking, oh my gosh. You know, God has done A, B, C, D. You know, when you start saying, okay, and things start coming up as you're saying them. You're like, oh my gosh, yeah, that happened. I'm thankful for that. Oh, you know, we have food in the house. You know, and there are weeks where it's heavy. You know what I mean? You have a heavy week where things are just going wrong and you come to that session. It forces you. You get there and you're resistant and you're like, ah, why do we have to do this? And then when it starts, the process starts and you're like, hey, I had a rough week, but hey, we had food.
Yeah.
You know, I had my favorite carrot cake this week. Wow.
In
the midst of all that, you know, you start taking the little things and you're like, and they start coming out and you're like, you know what? You know, it's not all doom and gloom. And you come out lighter. You know what I mean? So I feel like it sounds formulaic, but it helps. You know, having those intentional, even if you don't have a family or with your friends or whatever. Just before you guys, you know, have your coffees or whatever, or when you start off your conversation, when you hang out, you know, just start off, you know, guys, what are you grateful for this week? What's been the highlight? You know, that sort of thing. And just by yourself in your devotion every day, you know, Lord, I'm thankful for this. Just reflecting. I've started journaling.
I love
that. This has been really good. And I'm proud of myself. I can actually look at my thing. And
when did you start?
Saying, I've been doing, my streak is 12 weeks.
12 weeks?
Yeah, 12 weeks.
That is very impressive.
12 weeks of journaling.
That's very good.
Yeah. So I have 12 weeks. I've written 10,137 words.
Look at you, man.
Yeah.
Overachiever.
What? But yeah. It's helped me, you know, sometimes you have thoughts in your head, but you can't really analyze them as you're thinking. So when you put them down and you read them back, you're like, wow, is this really what I'm thinking? And you start seeing certain things. Oh my gosh. I should be grateful for that, you know. So I think that's another thing, you know, journaling.
I love that. And then I would add that one of the challenges that we have in our world today currently is comparison.
Yeah.
You know, you're on social media, you're seeing all of this stuff, and it's very easy to start to feel like your own life is not moving. And I think this happens to all of us, right? You're thinking, oh, okay.
Social media lies.
It lies.
No, not that people are intending to lie, but it gives a certain perspective.
Like it's all curated to look a certain way.
A friend who I met after, a guy from Tokage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember Jabu. Tallish guy.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, yeah.
Is Zane still there?
I don't know.
I was parked there the other day. Anyway, fine. Anyway, sorry. That's an answer.
So I meet this guy, and it's been like close to 10, 12 years since I've seen this guy. And we met on a plane.
Okay.
And he's like, ah, you're around. I'm like, what do you mean you're around? Like, I thought you were in Europe somewhere. You know, I travel sometimes.
Because it's in your posts.
And I post.
At Old Trafford.
Yeah, exactly.
And what.
And in Paris or in...
He's making us feel like our lives. Switzerland
or whatever.
He's making us feel like our lives are nothing out here.
You know, or I'm in Angola or in, you know, Dar es Salaam or whatever. So he's seeing me in different places. So he's totally convinced I'm in diaspora. But no, I've never left.
Yeah.
But because if you do go, I then went to my time and I'm like, I get why people think, because there are hardly any pictures of me local.
No, that's
true. They're more, I post more when I'm outside than,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know why. It's not intentional, by the way.
Yeah, because naturally, I've had that happen a couple of times as well, right? Where somebody's like, hey, I thought you were living in the States. I'm like, what?
Exactly. You see.
Why would you think? But
so social media, if you were to judge...
Yes, then now somebody's thinking, yo, my life is whack. Keith is always traveling.
Yes.
Keith is living some posh life.
Yeah.
But they don't know that you're here.
Yeah, number one, I didn't pay for the ticket. It was work. It was a client who took me there.
Well, you've got good clients. You know?
Exactly.
But yeah, but that's precisely it, right?
Yeah.
That, and then there are many people, there's some people who are posting stuff with the intention of misleading.
Right, exactly.
Of painting a picture that's not real. Especially my ladies, women's and about pressure too much. But the reality is that, so now you start looking at your life and measuring your life against somebody else's curated
life.
Social media persona, right? And so it's important for us to stop and just say, hey. And I think how, again, this is an important point is that be thankful for where you're at. Be thankful for what you have.
Yeah.
And it connects again to that theology issue.
Yeah.
Because if you're not thankful, I'll give you this last example before we close. Saul and David.
Yeah.
Saul became obsessed with eclipsing David.
David. That comparison issue.
Comparison. He became so obsessed.
What's that song again?
Anzichi, David killed 10,000. Or something.
Saul killed 1,000.
David killed 10,000. T-Mac is the one who knows the song properly. But it's that thing, right? Where it's like he stopped to see. Of course, God then rejected him and all of that. But he stopped seeing who he was.
Mm.
God's anointed man, because there was a time when Saul was God's anointed man.
Yeah.
He stopped seeing that because he became so obsessed with the fact that David was this guy that everyone was singing about. And now he was trying to eliminate him. He was trying to kill him. And that speaks to what can happen to all of us when we cease to be grateful for what we have what God is doing with us.
Yeah.
Because I stopped seeing that. I stopped seeing that God has a plan and a purpose for my life.
My life, yeah.
And that the difficulties that I face and the things that I've been through, God has a way of orchestrating and molding everything to form me into the person that he wants.
Well, yeah.
But I start looking at your life. And I'm like, no, but Mr. Kent is traveling and things are going well.
Yeah.
And now I even become envious, and I can even start disliking you for no reason, for no apparent reason. I'll see you, I'll be like, that on schemes is bad. That on schemes is bad,
exactly.
Bro. Meanwhile, it's because I've stopped looking at myself and at what God has done for me.
And you start living your life to compete in comparison.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow,
and so now you've got this person who's competing with you.
Yeah.
And you don't know.
Yeah.
We're friends, and you're thinking, "Hey, we're in this." But meanwhile, I'm competing with you. I'm in some sort of a competition.
Notes,
I'm in a competition with you, bro.
Like,
right?
I'm gonna beat this.
when you get a new car, I'm thinking, "Man, I need to do better.
I need to do yeah."
And so it's a terrible life.
Yeah,
because you're not grateful for where you are. You're not content. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain, right?
Yeah,
and contentment is not complacency. It's not us saying, you know, I'm not gonna work hard or I'm not gonna sharpen my skills. No, it's being in a place where even when you do get the Rolls Royce, you still feel like it's not enough because you think there's something better because somebody else has better.
Yeah.
And I think it's a terrible place to be. The last, lastest thing I'm gonna share, and this just came to me as we're talking. There's a story that's told by Jesus in the Bible, and I think this will speak to somebody. There's a Pharisee. Jesus is giving the example of prayer.
Mm.
And he says, in fact, somebody says to him, Master, and I'm forgetting the exact reference here, but he says, the story is about two guys that are praying.
Mm.
And the one, the Pharisee, says, I thank you, Lord, that I am not like this sinner, right? I pay my tithes. Mm. I do this and I do that. And he's telling of all these things that he's doing and how he's living an upright, pious life. Then there's the other dude who is beating his chest. And beating his chest, when I looked up the symbolism behind that, beating your chest was basically back then a way of humbling yourself and really saying, I'm nothing.
Yeah.
And he's saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Mm. Have mercy on me.
Mm.
You know? And it says the guy who beat his chest and was humble before God went away more justified.
Wow.
By God. And yet this dude who was like, no, Nini, I've got my things together. Mm. Thank you that you've made me so great and you've made me so amazing.
Yeah.
It says that dude is not justified before God, right? Yes, this is a paraphrase and you can go look it up. But how I think this ties into what we're talking about is that humility before God is such an important thing.
Yeah.
And humility, I think what the cross does for us is that it brings us to a place where we realize that we are that guy who is nothing before God.
Yeah.
That guy who had sinned, who had messed it up so much.
Mm.
And yet God said, hey, you're justified before me. Not because of anything you've done, but because of what I've done.
Yeah.
Whereas the other guy is looking at all the things that he's accomplished.
Yeah.
And we can easily be that guy also, where you're looking at, you know what, if you're good looking, you're like, no, I've got this. Or I'm a well-accomplished music producer, or I'm the CEO of this, or people know me. And unfortunately, that is the thing that social media and this world wants us to drive towards. We're all constantly out there. Publishing and all our accomplishments and all the great things that we've done, you know, and that can put us in a place where we don't know how to be grateful anymore.
Mm.
That gratitude comes from a place of realizing that God is ultimately in control and he's already done what needed to be done for us. And so our sense of worth, our sense of value comes from what he's done.
Mm.
And so the only posture we really ought to have is a posture that says, Lord, thank you.
Right.
Thank you that you took a sinner like me.
Yeah.
Right. I know there are people who struggle with all sorts of things. Maybe you're struggling with addictions, you know, porn and substance, or maybe you're struggling with a feeling of just a sense of low self-esteem.
So, yeah.
Or maybe you're just in a place where you're battling with life. You know, it seems like your life is not moving and terrible things have happened. But I want to encourage you today to just take some time to, like what Keith was saying, to just take a moment to pause and to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for life. Thank you that I'm breathing.
Mm.
Thank you that I actually have people.
Yeah.
Right? Thank you that I'm alive in this moment in history. There's always something to be grateful for. And the moment we become more focused on thanking God, I think the more some of those things begin to diminish, like what Keith was saying, some of those things begin to diminish in our eyes because the gratitude becomes greater. And I believe that as we do that, God will bring the things that we need.
Mm.
God will bring the people we need. God will bring the opportunities that we need. But then even if he doesn't in the way that we want, we can still rest in the fact that we belong to him.
To him.
And that he's with us. And I think that's really where gratitude comes from. We're not thanking God because we have the new pair of Jordans. Or we have the Merc.
Though we want the Jordans.
Or we have the Merc parked outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Or we have the beautiful wife. Or we have the husband that we've been believing for.
See Victor.
Or we've been told to go see Victor. Because we think that thanking God should only happen when the things that I want have happened. Yeah. Of course, there is a place for that. Yeah. Definitely. But I'm saying, even if those things have not happened yet.
Yet. Yeah.
Right? We're we still should thank God.
Yeah.
So that when they do happen, praise God. But then if they don't happen in the way that we want, we still trust him and say, you have a plan. You have a greater plan than what I had in mind. Yeah. So I thank you still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Even though we can go see Victor genuinely because we went to school with Victor.
Oh, so yeah, yeah. Victor. Hey, Victor, Kusha, Victor, please, my guy. If you're watching, do the right thing. I would use a Land Cruiser 300 series or, you know, just something small like a Range Rover. You know,
something small.
You know, just something something not too big. But yeah, so that's where it's at, guys. Good. I think this has been good. Do send us your comments. Do send us your, you know, anything that you want to. You think will help
and suggestions of what you want us to talk about.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. We're going to be having guests. We're really going to make it exciting. We want to make it engaging, exciting. But I think, and we're grateful for you, our supporters, our listeners. You know, you guys are part of the Radiant Culture family. Cool. This has been good. This has been real.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Peace.
Peace.